Today on Maine Calling, Maine's restaurants face big challenges. Maine's food scene draws tourists from all over the world, from lobster roll takeout places to farm-to-table eateries to fine restaurants that have won James Beard Awards. Maine chefs know how to cook, but they face unprecedented challenges, including staffing shortages and higher costs. Several popular places have closed in recent years. Others have reduced their hours or altered their menus. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will check in with several Maine restaurants and people who follow them closely. How has this critical summer tourism season gone for Maine restaurants so far? What are they doing to survive and thrive? And what are some new trends in dining out in Maine? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Down East communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. There was a lot of apprehension about how well Maine restaurants would do this summer, with questions about tourism, tariff, and rising costs, as well as workforce shortages. Well, today we're going to find out how the food service industry is faring, and we will also hear about a new book that examines the role restaurants play in our lives. Joining me, Becky Jacobson, who is Executive Director of Hospitality Maine, Tim Sebula, who is food and dining reporter and restaurant critic with the Portland Press Herald, and Brian Duff, Associate Professor in the School of Social and Behavioral Sciences at the University of New England. He is the author of a new book called Restaurant. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you eaten out lately? Has one of your favorite dining spots closed its doors? Are you excited about a new restaurant in your town? Are you in the business? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Well, welcome to all of you. And Becky, I'm going to start with you for the big picture here. There have been a lot of stories about, and this is across the nation, about restaurant chains closing over the past year. Some beloved Maine restaurants have closed their doors as well. But we're always hearing about new ones opening. Overall, how are restaurants doing in Maine right now, especially right now as we're, you know, what, two-thirds through the really critical summer tourism season?
Yeah, it's been an interesting summer, to put it mildly. The summer started out pretty slow because of a lot of noise about tariffs and were tourists from Canada going to come or not. A lot of rain in May and June, so it wasn't terribly welcoming from a weather point of view.
That's right. Was it seven Saturdays in a row?
At least in my area, it was 13.
Oh, gosh.
So
okay.
And that hurt. And we heard about that from a lot of our members. But having flipped that switch, July's been a great month weather-wise. Hopefully that's going to continue. It has through August. So we're optimistic that this summer is actually going to come out a little bit better than maybe we thought in May, to be honest. I mean, there have been a few restaurants that we've seen close recently, but not like last year when there was a spate of closings. As a matter of fact, in the Press Herald today, I noticed three new openings and one closure. So, you know, I think it's an optimistic industry and we're just keeping our fingers crossed that this summer is going to continue to rebound.
What about the concerns about tariffs? We hear about Canadians who are not traveling to Maine because of those tariffs and because of some of the president's comments. Have we seen an impact on Maine restaurants from fewer Canadian tourists?
It's very dependent on location. So I heard from a restaurant in Presque Isle, and it's hurting them drastically. They're seeing, you know, it's been reported that border crossings are way down. So they're not seeing the traffic. There are sporadic accounts, depending on where you're at, that tourism from Canada is down. But I've talked to a lot of folks who said their Canada friends came anyways. So again, it hasn't been, I don't think, as bad as people thought it might be in May.
And before we move on to the others, I just want you to lay out the picture of the kinds of challenges that restaurants are facing. I know that throughout Maine, we're facing workforce shortages, but nowhere as intensely as the restaurant industry, right?
Well, you know, workforce shortages aren't the problem that they were 3 years ago. It has eased up. It's still an issue. At this time of year, it becomes an issue as our college students go back to school, and that leaves a lot of openings, especially on the coastal properties. But I would say that what I'm hearing from members more is just overall rising costs as a challenge, whether it's their utility costs or product costs, you know, even labor costs to keep those really good employees, they're paying a lot more. So it's really a challenge of rising costs across the board.
And I see that as a catch-22, right, Becky? Because rising costs means higher prices, which means it costs more to go out to eat, which means it's accessible to fewer people. So, Tim, I see you nodding your head. Becky mentioned that just today in the Portland Press Herald, notice of 3 new restaurants opening. You have to keep track of all of this. How do you do it?
Yeah, well, it's not easy. There's a lot of intense turnover that we've seen over the past few years, certainly since the pandemic, but even before my time in Maine, even before the pandemic, that is, there was intense turnover in the Portland restaurant scene. Luckily, just about as much as many new openings as there have been closings, but we're seeing plenty of new openings now, and a lot of places are taking advantage of what realtors call second generation restaurant space, which lets them open without the burden of a full build out cost or having to
So a restaurant that's closed, but the kitchen's already there, the tables are already there, maybe change the paint color and a couple things to make it look different.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So tell us about some of the trends you're seeing. What types of restaurants are opening? What kind of cuisines are we seeing more of?
Sure. We're seeing, interestingly, there seems to be a sort of a mini boom in Italian restaurants these days. It ranges from both regional Italian restaurants like Pomelia in Brunswick, which features Sicilian. Oh, I'm sorry. My little orange friend, the cat, is deciding that right now is the exact time that he wants my full attention on top of the laptop.
Cats love Zoom interviews. Go ahead,
Tim.
Oh,
my God. Yes, his timing is wonderful. Carlos, be on your way, fella. So I was saying Pomelia in Brunswick, Sicilian. Vesta in Yarmouth, Roman type Italian food, but also really interestingly, some regional American types of Italian as well, like Benny's recently launched on Congress Street, I think in May, featuring Philly style red sauce American classics, Italian American classics, and the owner of Dutchman's Bagels in Brunswick is gearing up to launch a place in Brunswick, in the same building, I believe, that features New Jersey style Italian American food, and the owners of Salvatore's Hoagie Shop will be doing a Philly style Italian sandwiches and pizza place on Forest Avenue later this fall, along with a place called Abioco on Forest Avenue later this year, featuring fresh pasta and an Italian heavy wine bar. So it seems like we're having a little boomlet of Italian food, which is kind of interesting.
Wow. And we're having this conversation at lunchtime, and that all sounds so good. Brian, I know that you're a close observer of the restaurant scene in Maine and have been for a while. What could you say about overall patterns that you've noticed?
I was talking to Anestas, who runs the Portland Food Map, before it came on, and he's noted something similar to what Becky was talking about, that for every restaurant that closes, more than one seems to open up. And what he's observed is that it's often kind of these larger restaurants that are closing, and the ones that open tend to be these smaller shops. And I just remember I was a food critic in Portland for many years, and many of my favorite restaurants were these little places where, they often had one server along with the people in the kitchen. Schulten Air was like that when it first opened, and Yobo was like that, and it seems like there'll be more of those places. It keeps labor costs low, and those places can have like a just like kind of a really warm and charming quality that I think larger restaurants is harder to maintain.
You know, it's interesting you say that because one thing I've noticed when I travel to visit friends who maybe live in larger cities is that you take for granted that you can find these little restaurants in Maine, but you can't find those other places. Not in the same numbers.
Yeah, I think it is a really great thing about the food scene in Portland and Maine at large. That's something. Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to. I remember stumbling on these little places when they opened, and you kind of get to know the spirit of the place very quickly when it's small like that. So that's something I look forward to.
Brian, you have a new restaurant out. It's called Restaurant. Tell us about it and why you chose to write about the role that restaurants play in our lives.
So my new book, it's in part, I worked in restaurants for many years, and then I was a restaurant critic for 15 years, so had restaurants on the mind. And so even though I'm a political scientist, I always wanted to do something with it. And in particular, one thing to know about my book, we talked about affordability in the restaurants, is very affordable. Just want to know that. Probably costs less than a glass of wine at a restaurant. And it looks great. But it's I try to get it. It's not about the restaurant industry so much as it's about the experience of going to a restaurant and what's unique about it. And one thing that interests me most is restaurants, as much as they're about sort of like food and nourishment, they're also about conversation, and really have been from the beginning. And just as restaurants are facing challenges today with affordability and other challenges, the art of conversation is really facing challenges today, right? So people are choosing to text instead of talk face to face. Even families now, they text each other all day rather than talking. And I do think the restaurant has a really special place as one of the last places where people really feel like it's an occasion to like put down the phones, look each other in the face, and have a conversation for a sustained period of time. And so the book is as much about that experience as it is about, about going out and getting some food. But, I do get into the fact that the experience of being sort of like nourished and cared for in a restaurant, it also has an effect on it. I think it goes quite deep, it gets into some deep parts of us that really resonates with, and that can have an effect on sort of our openness to other people and our openness to where conversation can go. And so the book really kind of explores that aspect of the restaurant experience.
Well, speaking of being nourished and cared for, we have Julie Barker on the line. She owns Helen's Restaurant in Machias. Thanks so much for joining us, Julie.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
I know that Helen's is a beloved institution to many. It is a place locals go very often, and it's a place other people look forward to going when they go to Down East Maine. What do you think it is that has made the restaurant so well known and popular over the years?
I think consistency. We try to keep the same model every year, homemade, local food, friendly service, affordable prices. And I think that consistency has brought people back over and over.
Is it increasingly challenging to for that to bring the last part of that sentence, the affordable prices?
It is. We are surprised when people come. We're working in the industry and we're working owners, so we are we don't get away very often. So we do compare prices in other towns. We don't have a lot of similar restaurants in our area right now to compare to. So people are always saying, oh, your prices are so reasonable compared to other places. So I think we're, you know, trying to do that and still pay our staff a great wage with some benefits. So it is always a challenge. It's always a challenge, and we try not to pass that on to the customer, you know, in a huge way. So it is always a challenge.
Well, Julie, if people haven't been to Helen's, they may not know this, but your slogan is Death by Pie. Explain that.
Well, people come in and, you know, we have the pie case strategically placed close to the front door. So people get an eye for that when they come in the door. Our bakers are in at 4 or 5 in the morning making everything from scratch. So we're really excited for people to sample that. And, you know, some people have it first, but a lot of people will indulge and have something that they haven't tried before on the menu, and they eat a lot, and then they're going to have pie afterwards, and then they feel like they're going to die.
But they have it anyway, right?
They have it anyway. A lot of people take it to go and have it at a later time when they digest a little bit.
And is your most popular blueberry?
It is. Yeah, even in the wintertime, the baked blueberry pie is still the most popular, and my husband has at least 2 pieces a week. And he's not much of a sweet eater, so he really loves it too.
Well, let me ask you about this summer, because you are one of those restaurants that I'm sure sees a lot of Canadian tourists. You're near a border crossing. Have you seen a difference this year?
We don't really know who is going into Canada. You know, the servers are always conversing with their guests. And traditionally, we are kind of a halfway point from Boston to Prince Edward Island. And we owned an inn for a while. And a lot of our overnight guests were just stopping and then going on to PEI. We don't have that business anymore, so I'm not positive. Our numbers are good for the summer. We are seeing our Canadian friends over in Campobello coming, people that stay over there who have, they're Americans who have homes either in St. Stephen or Campobello. We are seeing those same faces. So I'm not sure how that's playing out. People have asked me that before, and, you know, I do see those regular local people that live on Campobello are still coming in.
Hmm. Well, Julie, I so appreciate you calling in, and now I'm hungry for pie, of course. Julie Barker owns Helen's Restaurant in Machias. We are going to take a quick break. We're talking about restaurants on Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Maine's restaurant scene is ever-changing. We're talking about how it's doing this summer. Right now with me, my guest, Tim Sabula, who is Portland Press Herald restaurant critic, Brian Duff, associate professor at UNE, who is a political scientist but has written a new book about the role restaurants play in our lives, and Becky Jacobson, executive director of Hospitality Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. What are you seeing in your town? What makes you happy? What makes you concerned? Send us a brief email, talk@mainpublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Meredith McBranch, who is marketing and events manager for Dennett's at the Wharf in Castine. Thanks so much for calling in, Meredith.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Meredith, for people who are listening who don't know the story, tell us about the last couple of years at Dennett's. It had a really hard time after the big floods a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah, we had a forced renovation due to Mother Nature. Took out a lot of the building space, and we had a whole deck outside that just got washed out to sea, and 3.5 feet of water in the building. So it was a lot of work last spring to get open. It was kind of like we don't know if it's going to work out. And they did a huge push and did a ton of work and got it open. And last summer was beautiful and a huge community gathering space and really, really, really fun to witness. And we built on that this year and added more hours and more days and a weekend brunch. So it's just, it's been really exciting to see the momentum carry through a couple seasons and see the joy and importance that it holds in the community.
Yeah. After that storm, you had pretty much everybody in town help you rebuild, right?
Totally. Yeah. It was like everybody showed up for hours. Everyone was saying, just put me in wherever I can be helpful. It was a huge community effort. And Dennett's has always been a really big community space in Castine, which is a really small and vibrant community that like holds each other really well. So yeah, it was really cool to watch like the community gather around the space that they love so much and help out to get it open.
So you said that this summer you've been able to add times that you're open. That is different than many restaurants add a Sunday brunch. How has it gone? Have you been pretty busy all day, every day?
Yeah, it's been incredible. We've been a lot busier than last summer. People have kind of gotten to know us better and know our hours and know our food and keep coming back for more. It's definitely been hard to like keep up sometimes, but is really, really fun every day. And we're just so happy to be here and keep doing it.
So what's the most popular item on the menu?
Do we sell most of our smash burgers and lobster rolls, which, you know, makes sense for Maine.
Smash burgers and lobster rolls. All right, Meredith, thank you so much for calling in. That was Meredith McBranch with Dennett's at the Wharf in Castine. We'll go to callers now. We'll start with AMK, who's calling from Scarborough. Hi, AMK. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Former hospitality professional for many, many years, and the two observations I have about Maine are I really wish that we could focus more on diversifying our, especially when the pandemic hit. I had conversations with people at the state level who are, you know, complaining or upset or worried about summer of 2021 and the tourism that was going to be denied because of the COVID. And I just said, well, you know, if we diversified our economy a little bit away from tourism, that would be great. And I hear about the restaurants opening and closing, and the economic impact of that is huge. And while I love hospitality and I love going out to eat, it just, when you open and close so many restaurants, it has such a negative impact on the economy, on the people, but also opening up so many restaurants, it just takes away from, it's like just spreading it everybody way too thin. When there's a restaurant in every corner, there's a pizza place every half a mile. And I really hope that somewhere in our world here in Maine that we realize there's so much more going on. There's so many more opportunities for entrepreneurship that we can kind of step away from.
Okay, AMK, a lot there. And I'm going to turn to Becky. Becky, a couple major points there. AMK wishes that tourism and restaurants were not such a large portion of Maine's economy because makes us more vulnerable. And then also that maybe there are too many restaurants. What would you say to that?
I would say that there aren't too many restaurants given that people keep going to the new ones. You know, they wouldn't close and reopen if there wasn't demand for them, whether it's local demand or whether it's demand from our visitors. We have to remember that those visitors, tourism doesn't just, you know, support restaurants. It supports huge chunks of our economy and support systems and allow us to have some of the quality of life that we really treasure in Maine.
And I want to ask you, Tim, you've lived other places. Does Maine have more restaurants per capita than other places? Or is it hard to measure? Because I think we know there's 7.7 million people who come to Maine every summer. So you don't really measure it per capita with people who live here. You know, do you think we're too saturated?
I don't think we're too saturated. It can be tricky to measure. The last time I checked with the National Restaurant Association, I believe that they said that Portland, not Maine, but Portland specifically, was on par with restaurants per capita with San Francisco. Which is obviously a world-renowned food city. And Portland has an amazing food reputation and restaurant reputation for good reason. I've lived in other cities, in larger cities, and the offerings here are astounding. It's amazing how much Portland and Maine, but Portland in particular, punches above its weight for the in the restaurant scene. It's just something that makes it really, really special. I mean, there are cities that are twice its size, or actually mid-sized cities, much larger, that don't have a fraction of the quality and diversity of restaurants that Portland does, or greater Portland. Maine in general has a fantastic food scene, about a dozen Jamaican restaurants, and some of them in far-flung places like South Paris and Ellsworth and things like that. So you're not going to find that in a lot of other states.
Becky.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we need to bear in mind is that as opposed to a lot of other states, the majority of Maine restaurants are small, personally owned operations. They're not that we have a few chains, but compared to most cities, we're mom and pop shops across the state. And so it does feel like there's more because there are a lot less of the larger restaurants that can seat a couple of hundred people at a time. So it feels like you've got a restaurant in every corner, but that restaurant may only have 15 seats.
Right. We're talking about restaurants, not tables, not seats at tables.
Right. So, you know, that's part of what makes Maine such a food destination is because you can have that diversity of restaurant type when they're small operations and their owners care the way they do about the food they're putting out.
And Brian, AMK's comment really sort of touches both of your worlds, your hat as a political scientist and also as somebody who used to work in the restaurant industry. I mean, this is a perpetual conversation in Maine, isn't it? Are we too dependent on tourism? Do we need to diversify? If so, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I try to explore in my book, you know, restaurants, we can have these really blissful experiences, but especially if you're in a place that has a restaurant scene, they can also be a source of like great anxiety, you know. You've heard about four new places that have opened up, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, it's amazing!" But you know, very often a meal is not cheap at all, and then you're like, yeah, "Am I ordering right? Or did I pick the right like?" The froth of a restaurant scene in a place like Portland, if you live in Portland and you care about food, it can almost be, you know, staying on top of it, making sure when you have guests from out of town, you take them to the right places, right? It can lend a certain anxiety. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong at the restaurant. And so I try to tap into both sides. But then when it goes right, when you find that place you love, it just makes it all the better. And I do think there's a real difference between Portland and the rest of and a lot of small towns like Castine. You know, there was Tim's been talking about Jamaican food. There used to be a Jamaican restaurant in Steubenville, Maine, you know, just past Bar Harbor, run by this guy Alva and his wife Jessie, and she was front of the house, he was back of the house. It was called a kitchen garden, and like you stumbled onto this place, you just couldn't believe how good it was. And I think all over Maine, there are places like that. And the towns, you know, they do come to really love these places. And whereas Portland is quite a different animal.
Yeah, and we are hoping to hear from a Jamaican restaurant later in the program. Well, speaking of Portland and speaking of the restaurant scene, calling in now is Jake Stevens, who is chef and owner of Leeward in Portland. Thanks so much for calling in, Jake.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
Well, Leeward is one of the high-end Portland restaurants that has gotten a lot of accolades, including James Beard semifinalist 2 years in a row. Congratulations. How has business been this season? When did you have to get a reservation?
So we have business has been good this season. You know, after a lot of trepidation in May and June, you know, wondering if we were going to see as many tourists, as many summer people. It's shaken out to be just as good, if not slightly better than last summer. We've been really fortunate to see a lot of new guests, a lot of tourists, people from out of town, a lot of summer people, a lot of returning summer regulars, as well as our in-town regulars continuing to come this summer. So that has been great. And thankfully, you know, despite the reports of less border crossings from Canada that we were seeing in June, and as you guys had mentioned, the pretty terrible weekend weather throughout June, which now seems to be an every year kind of thing, we've been doing pretty well.
Wonderful.
As far as reservations go, I mean, we only open our reservations a month out, like 30 days, actually. So we're not, you know, starting in June, we're not full the whole summer. People who are still making plans and still coming up for the weekend can still get reservations as the summer goes on.
Oh, boy. A lot of people are celebrating right now as you say that. What would you say sets Leeward apart? What are you known for?
We're definitely known for our pasta. We make all of our pasta in-house, and we change our menu quite frequently, especially during our growing season here, which allows us a lot of freedom, a lot of leeway in being able to focus on ingredients that are at their peak for freshness, for seasonality. The many farms that we work with locally. With Maine's short growing season, you know, something like asparagus, we'll have more asparagus than we know what to do with for 3 weeks, and then it's gone. But the fact that we print our menu every day allows us to really hit those the peak of all those ingredients, whether it's asparagus or cherry tomatoes or broccolini, right when they're perfect. And as soon as the weather gets too hot or too dry and something starts to fade a little bit, we can pivot really fast and move on to the next thing. So I think it allows our menu to stay really fresh. People can come in, once a month and see a totally different menu. And we try to stay approachable. Over the last 5 years, we've tried to keep our prices very reasonable. And service approachable for, you know, out of towners and locals alike.
I want to ask you about the whole idea of Portland as a food mecca, a food scene, a place that has a lot of buzz. Do you think that is has grown over the last few years, has ebbed? How does it feel to be right at the center of it?
I don't know if it's ebbed. I think maybe the national press and hype around it maybe has crested. I feel like maybe, what was it, 2017, when Portland got named the best food city in America. And that was really the crest of it then is 2018, 2019. Right before the pandemic, when Portland was really, I feel like, exploding on the national scene press-wise. I feel like the caliber of cooking and restaurants and service and hospitality has maintained, if not gotten better, as people's expectations have grown. One of the things I have seen, and the thing that I think one of the issues that affects us most is I feel like the quantity of restaurant professionals moving to town has started to slacken a little bit. It may just be anecdotal on our end, but I do feel like as every year goes by, the number of new resumes or applicants that we get for open positions, especially ones that I see, I feel like pre-pandemic or 2020, 2021, we were seeing a lot of people moving here from larger markets. Cooks, bartenders, servers who had come from New York or Boston or Chicago or San Francisco. I feel like we were seeing a lot more of those, and I feel like that's started to slow a little bit. I think the average amount of responses that we get to new job postings, the pool has, I feel like, shrunk a little bit. And maybe that's because people are in positions where they're satisfied and are not moving around as much, or if it's an indicator of a larger trend.
Well, that's so interesting you say that, Jake, because I have a friend who owned a restaurant in New York City. And in about, I guess, about a decade ago, he said, everyone is going to places like Portland, Maine. I can't find enough people, enough good people. And I'm wondering if it's because Portland used to be a lot less expensive to live, and now it's not so much anymore.
I think you're right 100%. I feel like one of the main issue, if the data supports that less people are moving here who work in the restaurant industry, I think it's because cost of living has kind of turned upside down in Portland. I have had two different employees who had such a struggle to find housing at the beginning of this summer that they had to move away. One moved to the Mid-Coast, and one left the state. Finding affordable rentals for people within easy commuting distance. You know, a lot of our employees don't drive to work. Parking on the peninsula is crazy. You know, they ride bikes, they walk, they take public transit. Not being able to live in the city of Portland because of rent prices affects that tremendously. I feel like it's getting harder for people. I do think a lot of people were moving here from larger markets because originally the cost of living was lower, and that's sort of been turned on its head now.
Well, Jake, thank you for taking the time. Oh, I'm going to, before I say goodbye to you, go to Brian Duff. Brian, go ahead.
Oh, just on that point, I was living on the Eastern Prom for many years, and it's sort of this like catch-22 cycle where it's a lot of the buildings on the Eastern Prom got turned into Airbnbs, in part because of restaurateurs, you know, people who wanted to come and stay in Portland for 3 or 4 days, and they had a list of restaurants they wanted to visit. And it's in part because Portland became such a fantastic place to eat out that we lost a big chunk of our, you know, regular rental market.
And when you say the Eastern Prom, you're talking about a neighborhood in Portland for those people
who are listening from around the state.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Yeah.
Great.
Well, Brian, really interesting point. Jake, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. We're talking about restaurants in Maine. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Our topic today, Maine's restaurants, especially how they're doing this summer. Our panelists are Brian Duff with UNE. He has a new book out about restaurants and what they mean to us personally and culturally. Becky Jacobson is with Hospitality Maine, and Tim Sabula is with the Portland Press Herald. Share your comments and questions. Do you work at a restaurant? Have you always wanted to open one? Send us an email, talk@mainpublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or call 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Clayton White. He is the chef at Straight Jamaican Cuisine in Waterville. Thanks so much for giving us a call, Clayton.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell us about your restaurant, Straight Jamaican, and why you decided to open it, and why you decided to open in Waterville.
Well, first to start, I've been in the restaurant industry for over two decades, so being here in Maine for almost 10 years. I used to be in Bar Harbor, work in Bar Harbor for quite a while, and then I was a chef at used to manage kitchen, more than one kitchen down there in Bar Harbor. So, you know, I meet my partner that I'm with now, and you know, we talk about doing a business, and then there the Jamaican restaurant popped in. And we give it a shot, you know, because we're saying, like, nowhere in Waterville here has a Jamaican spot like that.
I see. So you saw an opportunity. You saw that Waterville did not have a Jamaican restaurant. Do you find that a lot of your clients are during the school year when faculty and students are at Colby, or is summer your busy season?
Well, it's summer. It's not like overly busy. I think we're more overly busy in the springtime going down into wintertime, you know. because summer school gives break, and like now most of the students like are coming back now, and you know, from their break. So, but I mean, it's still good to be here in Waterville, like serving up the authentic Jamaican food to people, and seeing all people gravitating to the food. You know, like a lot of people like often come here and ask, what's oxtail? And like, I've been explaining to them, and like when they try, they're like blown away. And I'm like, wow, this is so good.
So, yeah, like, so you're expanding people's palates, it sounds like.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Well, Clayton, thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, nice to hear from you. Clayton White with Straight Jamaican Cuisine in Waterville. Tim, you had mentioned that Jamaican cuisine is having a little bit of a moment in Maine. Is it nationwide, or is this just a Maine thing right now?
I'm not sure that it's nationwide, but it seems to be a Maine thing. I mean, in the past year, for a story that we did, by our count, there's been about 12 restaurants, not that open, but 12 restaurants in all in Maine, Jamaican restaurants. And Clayton's restaurant is one of them that opened in the past year, and another in South Paris, Cool Runnins, I believe. And a Jamaican market opened in South Portland. It's just very, very interesting to me that niche is so robust in Maine.
And Becky, the story that we just heard from Clayton, that he had worked in restaurants in Bar Harbor, but did not open a restaurant in Bar Harbor, went looking for another place in Maine that might have, you know, an opportunity present itself. Is that sort of a common story? Are you hearing that throughout the hospitality world in Maine?
I think that's always been part of the story in Maine, is that it's a great place for an entrepreneur to decide to start something that they want to do, but be able to go into some area where maybe they aren't familiar with Jamaican food or some other ethnic kind of cuisine, but it's an affordable area to be able to open in. You know, it's expensive to open a new restaurant in Bar Harbor. It's very difficult to find property, but you know, Waterville, with especially with the college community, makes so much sense because it's still an affordable area. And with a community that tends to be open to new ideas and new experiences. So I think that's just kind of the story of Maine. It's a great place to be open to be an entrepreneur.
And Becky, are you seeing any places, like, are you seeing parts of Maine that really could use some more restaurants, and then parts where, you know, as AMK was saying, maybe too many?
You know, I haven't heard anything specific. I mean, I know that I was in Aroostook County this past 2 weeks ago. And, you know, there's still a lot of communities that don't necessarily have a restaurant in them. So I think there's still opportunity, but, you know, it depends on the style. I think that these small mom and pops can actually make it in a lot of places that other business types can't do. You know, it's a lot easier if you've got a front of the house and a back of the house and maybe a server or two, and your costs are relatively low if you can tap into what that community needs.
Brian, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to read your book yet. Here, go ahead. You were going to jump in. Say what you wanted to say.
I was just going to say, you know, so my partner runs the website Maine by Foot, which I think you talked to her last year, but we go all over Maine doing hikes that she puts on the website. And we end up in a lot of these little towns where they don't have a restaurant. And it's this thing happens where a restaurant is so fundamental to a community that like the little grocery shops they'll have four or five tables in the corner. And we're always looking for a good breakfast sandwich, which we're vegetarians. It's hard to get good vegetarian breakfast sandwiches in rural Maine, but we're always looking. And you'll see it. It's like people will populate those tables. And we were at one the other day where the sort of like the guys from the town on their way to work, each one was sitting at a separate table, but they were all turned towards each other and having a conversation about what was going on in politics and about what they were going to do with their day. And And I just feel like, all over Maine, at every level, there are people finding a way to like find a place where they're comfortable, where they like whatever's there to eat, and they can chat, whether it's with the their family that they brought to the restaurant, or whoever just served them a sandwich or something like that. I think is a really fundamental part of life.
Well, it's interesting because you just answered my question. I was going to ask you that, you're talking about how gathering for a meal, gathering especially maybe for a special meal, is such a way that people can connect with one another. But we do know that restaurants are becoming more and more expensive. So I was going to ask you, is this becoming more, and this privilege, this part of culture becoming more and more out of reach for many people? But you're using the analogy of it doesn't have to be a sit-down restaurant, it can, or a formal restaurant. It can be the place you grab your breakfast sandwich or your slice of pizza.
Absolutely. And, there are a lot of people, I mean, in my book, like I discussed, there's this wonderful book called How the Other Half Eats by Priya Fielding Singh, where she looks at sort of like low-income Americans. And in part, she's curious, why do they eat so much fast food? And sometimes we think it's, oh, they live in a food desert and there's no other options. But she's like, actually, there's something profoundly satisfying, especially for parents who want to give their children something that just makes them happy and feel good and satisfied. And they find that comfort in fast food. There's a lot of evidence that chain restaurants like Applebee's and Chili's are the place in America where people from different classes mix the most. They're the most likely to be in the same space and sort of rub up against each other. I think it's great that here in Maine, we don't rely on chain restaurants so much at all. But I think that experience all on the line from Leeward down to fast food, I think there's people are looking for something that's kind of a profound part of being alive.
We'll go to Diana calling from VZ. Diana, we're tight on time. Go ahead.
I just want to put a good word in for Olive Garden because I go to fancy restaurants and I can afford it, but Olive Garden is a place where we gather with family and friends for special occasions. It's affordable. The food is consistent. And the service is always nice, friendly. It's clean. And I just want to put a good word in for restaurants like that who are family, friendly and affordable and used for special occasions. Thank you.
Yeah, Diana, thank you so much. And this is the point Brian was just making. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly the point. And I already said I won't repeat it.
Okay, Diana, thank you for calling in and sharing that. Becky, here we are in late middle August. When does the season end? When do restaurants take a breath?
So that's a really interesting question because it used to be that Labor Day rolled around and the curtain dropped. Everybody was shut down. Seasonal restaurant was shut down. Everybody went home, supposedly. That's not the case anymore. We're looking at very strong shoulder seasons now, well into October. And it's actually what we always recommend is it's a great time for locals to get to places maybe they don't have an opportunity to in the heat of the summer. There are an awful lot of seasonal restaurants that have extended their hours and stay open right through Columbus Day or Indigenous People Day or Thanksgiving even. So it's the season's still well underway.
I think that's a good story idea for you, Tim. Local season and seasonal restaurants, local time.
Yeah.
The beginning of October. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Becky Jacobs, the voice you just heard, Executive Director of Hospitality Maine. Tim Sebula is the Portland Press Herald's restaurant critic and food and dining reporter. And Brian Duff is a political scientist at UNE, and his new book is titled Restaurant. Our sound engineer today, Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, join us for a rebroadcast of our earlier program about music and mental health. And don't forget to sign up for the Maine Calling newsletter. You can do so at mainecalling.org. It is free every week. We tell you what's coming up next week, and we provide some of the links that you may have heard during conversations on the program. Again, you can sign up at mainecalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.